we thank you for this opportunity to purposefully look into your word. As we do, we invite the teacher of the church, the Holy Spirit, to fulfill his ministry in our midst. Lord, I ask you to anoint the words that come out of my mouth. Cause them to take root in the heart of all who hear this lesson. Father, I ask for illumination, revelation, and understanding to the hearts and the minds of all who hear. Dear Father, I thank you for making me an able minister of the New Testament, and I thank you that we'll have a successful lesson because it doesn't depend on me. It depends on you, and you are faithful. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church. We praise you and thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the title of tonight's lesson is God and His Faithful Word. For a number of weeks, we have been considering the topic of faith, specifically the kind of faith that accesses the provision and the power of the kingdom of God. This is actually our seventh lesson on it. The hardest temptation for me to resist is the temptation to repeat everything I've already said, to lay the foundation for what I want to say tonight, but praise the Lord, we'll do our best. We've made the point that to access the power and the provision of the kingdom of God, you have to understand how God works in our lives. He works in our lives by grace through faith. God's grace gives us what we cannot get for ourselves, and faith receives what God's grace has provided. That's how you were saved in the first place. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. The instrumentality of God's work is His Word. In other words, God works through His Word. The process is grace through faith, but the mechanism, if I can say it that way, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but just to communicate the point, the mechanism of His work is His Word. God gives us His Word about what He has done, is doing, and will do. And when His Word produces faith that is acted upon, namely, believed and confessed, when His Word produces faith that is acted upon, His Word comes to pass in our lives. That's the process by which God works. Now, we've looked up all these verses in previous lessons that I have here on the outline. We're not going to look at them tonight in the interest of time. But it's so important that you understand that. I could do lessons on this, but so many Christians struggle with, what's God doing in my life? I don't know what God's doing. How? If you understood, He works by His Word. He does what He says He'll do. He does what He says He is doing, and He does what He says He has done. He works through His Word. Now, God's Word comes to pass in our lives when we mix faith with it. We did a whole lesson called Mixing Faith with God's Word. God's Word comes to pass when we mix faith with it. And this process is so reliable that it's called a law, the law of faith. We discuss that in great detail in several lessons. We've made the point that a law is a principle stating something that always works the same way under the same conditions. And our example is Romans 10, 13, where it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There has never been a case where someone called on the name of the Lord in faith. The Amplified Bible sticks the words "in faith" in there, and that's completely appropriate. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. There's never been a case of somebody who called on the Lord in faith and they were not saved. Why? Because faith is a law. It's a principle that always works the same way under the same conditions. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures and that He was raised again on the third day, guess what? You shall be saved. Why? Because faith is a law. Now, God provided salvation for every man at the cross. But when someone calls on the Lord in faith, when he believes and confesses Jesus died for their sin, the work of the cross goes into effect. We emphasize that in great detail. When you come to the Lord for salvation, technically God does not save you that night. He saved you 2,000 years ago. 1 Timothy 4:10 says Jesus is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Jesus died for all, but he's potentially every man's Savior, but you have to put faith in Christ. You have to mix faith with the gospel for the work of the cross to become effective in you. That's actually what happened. Now, we say, oh, God saved me. God saved me, June 10th, 1975. And yes, God did, but technically he saved me 2,000 years ago through the cross of Christ. What happened on June 10th, 1975 is I mixed faith with the gospel and activated the power of God to produce a new birth in me. It is God who saved me, but he does it through a process called the law of faith. I called on the name of the Lord, and he saved me. Why? Because faith is a law. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Had I not done my part, faith, his part, grace, would not have come to pass. I'd still be unsaved tonight. Now, in the past few lessons, we've been specifically focusing on other expressions of the law of faith. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, is one way the law of faith is expressed in Scripture or described or stated. But in the past couple lessons, we've been focusing on some other ways the law of faith is expressed or stated or described in Scripture. And I want to continue that tonight and actually conclude our discussion of the faith that accesses the power and the provision of God's kingdom. If you would, open to James chapter 15. We're going to restate some things we said last week and add to them. James chapter 5, verse 15. Excuse me. What did I? Oh, did I say the wrong thing? Oh, no, it isn't 15.
And he kept asking me what, and I kept saying James 15.
It's James 14, verse 2. Oh, dear, praise the Lord. James chapter 5, verse 15. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. This is another expression of the law of faith. Now, we discussed this in a previous lesson. The word save there is the word translated healed in many other places in the New Testament. It's talking about being healed. Healing is part of your salvation. That's not a wrong way to say it, but just so you understand, the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. There's that same language again, shall. What does shall mean? Shall. It shall. It will. It shall. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The prayer of faith shall heal the sick. And then we haven't really dealt with the second part of this verse. We could. It says, and if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's another expression of the law of faith. If you put your trust in the Lord, you shall be forgiven. Why? It's a law. It's a law. Now, the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick. We said last week we operate or activate the law of faith by praying the prayer of faith. When you pray the prayer of faith, the sick shall be healed. If you prayed for somebody who was sick and they didn't get healed, the prayer of faith was not prayed. Now, that's a whole can of worms for another night. We discussed that in detail earlier in the summer, but that's the bottom line, because this verse says the prayer of faith shall. You may shall heal the sick. You may have thought you prayed a prayer of faith, but if they didn't get healed, the prayer of faith was not prayed. Why? Because the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Same principle. Now, we all understand that one. That's why I keep coming back to it. Okay. Now, if we keep reading here, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Lots we could say, we've already said about this passage, but notice Elijah is given as an example of a man who prayed the prayer of faith effectively, who prayed a prayer that made much power available. Elijah's prayer is recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. We're not going to turn back there in the interest of time, but all it is, it's very simple. All it says is that Elijah commanded it not to rain. That's what it says. He commanded that it not rain until he said so. It's repeated here for us in these passages in James, but that's all he did. He said, it's not going to rain until I say so. Now, the implication is that Elijah knew he was authorized to speak this way. You must know what you're authorized to speak and to say. They sang it tonight. If you look in the law, no rain is a consequence of idol worship. And Israel was in idol worship when Elijah made that pronouncement. So he was speaking in agreement with the word of God. The implication is he knew he was authorized to speak this way and that he believed that what he said would come to pass. How do we know he believed that what he said would come to pass? Well, he'd have never said it to King Ahab, which he did, if he didn't believe it would come to pass, if he didn't expect it to come to pass. It'd be like me going to somebody on the corner up there. Just hold on a minute and I'll run out there, but I'll stay on the mic so you can hear what I'm saying. And I ran up to somebody and said, it's going to rain gold coins in 10 minutes. Well, how many of you know, unless I know that's going to happen, I'm going to look like a big idiot. Okay, so we know that he believed that what he said would come to pass. Now, Elijah's prayer was a prayer of faith. Go back to Mark 11. That's exactly what Jesus did in Mark 11. Elijah spoke or commanded in agreement with the word of God and believed that what he said would come to pass, and it did, and that's called a prayer of faith. And then in Mark 11, I'm not going to read the whole passage. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. It starts in verse 12. Jesus came upon a fig tree without fruit, and he said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. He prayed the prayer of faith. He commanded a tree to die, and the tree was dead by the next day. Jesus then explained what he did to the tree, making it clear that his followers could do what he did. Let me start in verse 22. And Jesus answering saith, well, let me say this first in case you're not familiar with the passage. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and his disciples went on their way. The next day they're coming back and they pass the fig tree and it's dead and his disciples marveled at it. Peter said, look at the fig tree. And Jesus in answer to that or in response to that said, verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. In explaining what he did, Jesus said, he makes it clear, you guys can do what I did. He makes it clear, he said, when you speak to something, if you believe that what you say will come to pass and don't doubt, you will have what you say. Therefore, when you pray, believe that you receive your answer before you see it, and you will see it. That's basically what he told them. If you say something and believe that what you say will come to pass, and don't doubt, you'll have what you say. Therefore, when you pray, believe you have it before you see it. How can you believe you have it before you see it? Because you believe that what you said is going to come to pass, so you know you will see it. Believe that what you say will come to pass, and it will. Therefore, when you pray, believe you have your answer before you see it, and you will see it. Okay, now we're going to elaborate on that in more detail a little bit later on. Let me make one quick note about prayer. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. We often think of prayer only as asking God to give us something. And that throws a lot of people with this verse, okay? Yes, that is one type of prayer. It's called the prayer of petition, where you ask God to give you something. But there are many different kinds of prayer prayed for different purposes. We actually did a whole series on this. It's probably a couple years ago now. A lot of different kinds of prayers prayed for many different purposes. Now, what Elijah did when he said, no rain for 3 years, okay, it can rain again, that's called prayer. We just read that in James chapter 5. He did not ask God for anything. If you read the recording of his word in 1 Kings chapter 17, he did not ask God for anything. He simply spoke in agreement with God's word and commanded it not to rain. Prayer is any verbal expression designed to get God to act or to activate the power of God to produce tangible results. Now, there are also prayers of worship and praise, prayers of consecration to God, prayers of fellowship, etc., etc. Those are other lessons for other days. But when you're praying a prayer and the purpose of praying the prayer is to see a change, the purpose of prayer is to get God to act and work with me here. I realize that phrase could trouble people because it makes it sound like I'm saying God's going to do my bidding. You all have been with me long enough to know I have respect and reverence from God. I'm trying to put it as simply and as plainly as I can, okay? It's like we said last week, the word of God, we've said it several times, it's clear from the word of, maybe I won't even open that door because we got a lot to cover tonight. Because I've opened it several weeks ago, praise the Lord. So you can, prayer is any verbal expression designed to produce a result. Let's put it that way. When Jesus spoke to that tree, that was prayer. Why? It was a verbal expression designed to produce a result. Does that make sense? Okay. We're not making God a force. He is a being. We're not making God our errand boy. He's told us how he works, and it's up to us whether we're going to do it the way he does it or not. Okay? He said, you speak to the mountain. He said, you speak to the fig tree. Now, this passage in Mark 11, depending on what streams of Christianity you have been exposed to, this passage has become a real challenge to a lot of people. You all agreed with me last week. Everybody in here has tried to believe they received something without any success based on what you've heard from this. We have made this passage in Mark 11, 23 and 24, which I just read, we've made it about formula and procedure. Here's what I mean by that. And I've heard this taught. Maybe this isn't what the person intended to say, but this is how people heard it. If you just say you're healed enough, you'll be healed. How many of you have said you're healed 1,000 times? I have, without any result. And believe me, I believe in saying what God says. Okay? So I'm not saying that. But my desire is, there's a lot of things I think we've misunderstood in the scripture. And because we're acting on misunderstandings, we're not getting results. I want all that God has made available to me. Amen. Why? Because it glorifies him. Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified when you bear much fruit. What is fruit? It's outward evidence of the life that's in you. Amen. Tomatoes produce tomatoes because they got tomato life in them. Well, I got the life of God in me. Amen. So if I produce fruit, who gets glory? He does. So that we've made Mark 11, 23, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in your heart, you have what you say. If you believe you receive, you'll have. We've made it about procedure. If you just say you're healed enough times, you'll be healed. Or, let's turn it around, if you don't say you're sick, you'll be healed. Perhaps you've heard that. You know, maybe you said, man, I don't feel good, and had somebody jump on you and say, don't say that. Believe me, I wish it was that simple. Just don't say you're sick. But that, and I'm not saying that you should go around talking about how you feel and how it looks and what you think about how you feel and how it looks. But just not saying a few words is not what produces the results, okay? We all try hard to believe we receive our healing. And then we struggle because we're not sure we've done it right. Can anybody relate to that?
Yes.
Maybe I didn't really believe I received. Maybe I didn't believe I received. Maybe I didn't believe I received. Maybe I didn't receive hard enough or strong enough. But we've missed the point. Jesus is not giving us a formula for prayer here or procedure for prayer here. He is explaining the principle or the law of faith. Now, what's the law of faith? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The prayer of faith shall heal the sick. A law is a principle that always works the same way under the same conditions. Okay? He's not telling you don't say this or do say that. He's trying to explain a principle. Now notice there's two elements involved in what Jesus did here to the fig tree, because he explained it. I mean, he just said to the fig tree, nobody's going to eat fruit from you anymore, and then off he went. But the next day he explained what he did. How do we know he's explaining what he did here? Because when the disciples went, huh, the tree is dead, Jesus said, hey, have faith in God. That's literally have the faith of God, which is a whole can of worms for another day. You got the faith of God in you because you got the word of God in you. But that's a whole can of worms for another day. This is how God works. He said, have faith in God. If you speak to this mountain and believe that what you say will come to pass, it will. Well, I spoke to the fig tree, and I believe that what I said would come to pass. And guess what? It did. Therefore, when you pray, when you speak, when you issue a verbal command designed to get a result, you can believe your prayer is answered before you see it. Why? Because I just told you. If you believe that what you say will come to pass and don't doubt, it will. So once you speak in agreement with the Word of God, you got your answer. Now, okay, so in explaining what he did to the tree, Jesus mentions two elements, saying with the mouth and believing in the heart. Would you agree with that? If you don't, you're wrong. Just a little joke. Okay. Now, I think we'll be back to Mark 11. I kind of forget. Yeah, I'm sure we will. But look at Romans 10 for just a minute. These are easy to find. I told you I was going to belabor some points because I want you to really hear what I'm saying. In Romans 10, okay, so Jesus spoke to the fig tree and believed that what he said would come to pass. He prayed a prayer of faith, believed in his heart. In explaining what he did, he said, if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, what you say will come to pass. Well, those are the same elements involved in receiving salvation. Romans chapter 10, we'll start in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The same two elements are involved in salvation, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Now, we said this a couple weeks ago. To believe in your heart means to believe without any physical evidence. To confess means to say the same thing as, to say what God says. What did you do when you got saved? I have prayed with many people to receive the Lord, and some of you have as well. Many of you had somebody pray with you to receive the Lord. So we've all seen this process. You believe in your heart and you speak out of your mouth, I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. I thank you that I am now saved. Or something along those lines. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, you thank him for saving you at the end of that prayer, whether you feel saved or not. You thank him that you are saved, believing that he answered your prayer when you prayed. Would you agree with that? I mean, this same process is what takes place. We've all seen the sinner's prayer, or been present at altar calls where people are led in the sinner's prayer. They're praying the prayer of faith. They're believing in their heart. The word is presented to them. They believe it without physical evidence. Jesus died for your sins. according to the scriptures, was raised again the third day. Now, if you accept him as Savior and Lord, he'll save you. So they go, Jesus, thank you for dying. I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. I accept your salvation now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, whatever. There's different ways to say it. But then you conclude with, thank you for saving me. Thank you that I am now saved. You believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth. You believe that what you say comes to pass, and you thank him for it without seeing it or feeling it. You believe you have your answer because you've prayed. Okay? That's a prayer of faith. Now, as you begin to walk with the Lord and as time passes, then you begin to see or experience the effects of salvation in your life. How many of you have a lot more effects of salvation in your life now than you did the night you were saved? Okay. Now, although you didn't realize it, at salvation, you prayed the prayer of faith, which accessed the power and provision of the kingdom of God to produce the effects of the cross in your spirit. You believed in your heart without any physical evidence, and you spoke with your mouth what you believed, and you believed your prayer was answered before you had any physical evidence. That's the prayer of faith. How much you experienced as a result of this depended on whether or not you doubted. Because remember, that's part of it. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and don't doubt. How much you experienced depended on whether or not you doubted. If you struggled with thoughts such as, I'm not sure I'm saved, I don't feel forgiven, then you didn't experience as much peace and joy as somebody who did not doubt what happened when they prayed. Can you relate to that? Okay? See, the reason I'm belaboring this is because we all struggle with the prayer of faith. Well, if you understand, you've already prayed the prayer of faith. Yeah. And if you understand what it is, you can transfer that information to other stuff. Go back to Mark 11 again. We all struggle with and try to figure out what it means to believe you receive. Everybody in here, including myself, I'm presuming, has struggled with believing you receive. What exactly does that mean? You know, I know I'm supposed to believe I receive my healing. Okay, I believe I receive my healing. We did this last week. I'm going to do it again. Got laughs last week. Maybe it'll get laughs this week. You know, you try to believe you receive your healing. I believe I receive it. And you just try to feel yourself receiving it. I've done it. And you're absolutely sincere. You know, I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. I believe I have received my healing. That's it. I got to put it in the past tense. I believe I have received my healing. That's it. I have received my healing. But see, can you tell I'm not sure what I'm doing? Guess what? Doubt comes right in. And Jesus said, believe that what you say will come to pass and don't doubt. I didn't put this in tonight's lesson, I put it in last week's, but James, the first chapter says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that upbraideth not and giveth unto all men liberally, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, I mean, this is the perfect setup to not get a prayer answered. Because at the outset, you're wavering because you're not sure you believed you received right. You're not sure you believed you received your healing. You're not sure you believed you received your healing. So what does it mean to believe you receive? Well, let's think about it for a minute. At salvation, when you prayed the sinner, or when you prayed the prayer of faith so effectively, at salvation, it means that you accept God's word about what Jesus did at the cross. That's what it means. You accepted God's word about what Jesus did at the cross. You didn't try to believe you received Jesus. Nobody, when they pray the sinner's prayer, tries to believe they received Jesus. You don't even try to receive Jesus. How would you do it? Now just receive Jesus. See, because you haven't been churchified yet, when you were told that the sinner's prayer, just receive Jesus, you took that to mean just accept the word about what Jesus did for me. Does that make sense? But because we've come a little bit down the road, Now we try to believe we receive it. You accepted God's word about what Jesus did at the cross, and when you accept God's word about the salvation provided at the cross, it activated the power of God to produce the salvation in you, a new birth. 1 Peter 1:23 says, we're born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Now, in Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, remember what we've already said about prayer, okay? Prayer, there's different kinds of prayers. The previous day, Jesus prayed a prayer like Elijah. It was a verbal command desired to produce a change. This word receive in the Greek, Jesus said, you got to believe you receive. What does it mean? That word receive in the Greek means to take. If you look that word up, that's what it means. It means to take. Believe that you take. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you take them and you shall have them. Now the word take has many shades of meaning, including the word accept. How many of you know we say that we accept Jesus? Well, that's a real good way to describe it. What do you do? To accept means to receive with consent or approval, and it means to agree to or to assent to. What is it that you receive when you pray? You receive God's word. You accept his word with consent or approval. You agree with his word. When you believe you receive, what are you receiving? You're receiving the word. You're not trying to feel it go into your spirit, get it to come into you, which is what we try to do. No, you're simply accepting what is said. When your banker prints out a bank statement for you, I got a statement printed out today because I needed to see where I was at in my checking account. I didn't stand there going, I believe I received this person's word. I believe I received the answer to my request. No, I just was waiting to see what the word was, and then I accepted it. I accepted it. See, we understand what it means to accept the word of another person. We accept what they say as so simply on their word if we trust their character. And so it is with God. So to receive means to take. What did you take when you were born again? You took God's word on what happened at the cross. Or you accepted God's word on what happened at the cross. Now, what does it mean to believe you receive? It means you take it by faith, or you take it on faith. Let's forget take it by faith, because that's loaded with religious ideas too. No, you take it on faith. You take God's word on it. What does it mean to take somebody's word on faith? It means you accept what they say without seeing any physical proof because you trust their character. So to believe you receive means to take God's word on faith without any physical evidence because you trust his character. At salvation, you took God's word by faith. I accept God's word that salvation was provided at the cross. Thank you, Lord, that I am now saved. That's exactly what you did. See, I mean, think about it for a minute. At conversion, when you were, maybe you don't have a dramatic, I have a definite date. I know when I was saved. Maybe you were raised in church and you don't really know definitively, but I know. At conversion, all you know is that you're a sinner and Jesus died for you. Somebody preaches the gospel to you, the light bulb goes on, and they tell you, now you're guilty of sin before a holy God, but I got good news for you. Gospel means good news. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and if you will receive him as your Lord and Savior, if you will do that, he will save you. He will cleanse your sins, and you'll be born again. You'll become a new person, or whatever they said to you. Well, at conversion, you know you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you, and if you accept it, you'll be saved. You didn't try to receive the thing itself. You didn't try to receive salvation. You received the word of God about salvation. Would you agree with that? Why? Because you didn't know any better. See, now, because we've had enough information, We try to receive the thing itself. I'm trying to receive my healing. Now, we could do a whole lesson on this. I don't know if I should open this can of worms, but I will, just a tiny bit. Your healing's in you if you're born again. You don't have to get anything in you. We spent all spring talking about that. But that's another lesson. God says things many different ways to help us understand what he's talking about. There's a lot of different ways of saying all this stuff, but the point for our discussion tonight, and this is what we're focusing on, when you believed you received at conversion, you didn't try to receive salvation, you simply accepted the word of God. I mean, I remember when I was saved, and some of you do too. I mean, you're pretty much clueless. I was raised in a church, but they didn't teach being born again or saved. So, I had no clue. Just somebody presented the gut. Well, actually, it was my brother, Dennis. He led me to the Lord. You're a sinner. You got to accept Jesus. You say, okay. Jesus, I thank you that you are my Savior. Thank you that I'm now saved. No thought of trying to receive salvation, trying to believe I received my salvation. I just accepted the word of my brother because I trusted him, who shared with me what the Bible says. Amen. I accepted the word. See, when you believe you receive what? Receive the word. Accept the word, just like you accept the word of somebody else. Now, it's the same with healing. I'm using healing because for most of us, that's the big struggle. There's other issues, but that's a biggie. See, it's the same with healing. All that you know is that you're sick and that Jesus died for your sicknesses, took your sicknesses on himself, and if you accept that, you will be healed. Did I leave my scriptures off here? Maybe they're on the next page. Yeah, they're on the next page. Okay. Now, we did whole lessons earlier in the summer about how Jesus took our sickness on himself, just like he took our sins. At the same time, he took our sicknesses on himself. All you know is I'm sick. Jesus died for my sickness. He took my sickness on himself. And if I accept him, I'll be healed. The same salvation that provided salvation from my sins provides salvation from my diseases. Now, I said this last week, and I want to clarify to make sure I'm not misleading anybody. I said, don't try to believe you receive your healing. That's what we've all been trying to do, believe we receive our healing. Now, when I say that, I do not mean any disrespect to anybody who teaches that or who says that you must believe you receive your healing, okay? I don't mean that. I'm not trying to contradict anybody. We have misunderstood. This may not be what they meant when they said it, but this is how most people hear it. They misunderstand, and they try to believe they receive their healing with very little results and lots of frustration. How do you receive your healing? If I just draw it, how do you do it? What does that mean? We don't try to receive our healing. We receive or accept God's word on our healing. It's a big difference. And it's a major one. We accept his word. I accept God's word. Here, I've put it in sort of a prayer form. I accept God's word that healing was provided at the cross and that with the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Thank you, Lord. I am now healed. That's just the kind of prayer you prayed when you got saved. You accept the word that healing was provided at the cross. You accept Jesus as your healer, and you thank him that you are now healed. It has nothing to do with what you see or how you feel. Amen. You accept God's word by faith. Amen. On faith. Just like you accept the word of the banker on faith. And then you continue to affirm or to say by faith, without any physical evidence, that God healed you and you are now healed. You do it not to make something happen, but because you're certain something happened at the cross and you accept God's word on it. It's just like salvation. See, when I say, thank you, Lord, that I'm saved, none of us go around. If you understand salvation, it was properly explained to you. Nobody goes around saying, thank you that I'm saved. I believe I'm saved. I believe I'm saved. I believe I'm saved. Why? Because I'm saved. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for me. And I accept that. And God says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called on the name of the Lord, I'm saved. Yeah, but look at that nasty habit you still have in your life. Yeah, but didn't you just have an ugly thought? I'm saved. Because I called on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
In other words, contrary sense evidence doesn't move you, is the point I'm trying to make. I'm not encouraging icky thoughts or bad habits. We're working on those. I'm trying to get you to see a point, okay? How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand because I already know the answer to this and I could raise my hand myself. I believe I'm healed. Oh, I believe I'm healed. Thank you, God. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. In just desperation. Because you're in pain, because you hurt. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. You know what that tells me? I don't believe I'm healed. But I'm hoping if I say it enough, whatever needs to happen will happen. Let's be honest. Believe me, on one level, I care about this way more than you guys do because I stand up here and say stuff that I know people listen to. I do not like that responsibility, but it happens to be what goes with teaching. So I'm very mindful of what I say and that people listen and people make life decisions based on things that people like me say. So, you know, I know very few people get healed. I see it. And I examine, should I even teach that? I don't want to give people false hope, but I can't. It's in there.
That's right.
It's in there.
That's right.
And just because we haven't gotten a lot of results doesn't mean we should back up from it. It means we need to figure out why we're not getting results. So that's what I'm always pursuing. And some of the things that I'm teaching tonight, I've only understood this for a couple of years. I only have seen these things for just a very few years. I took some time about 2 years ago. I think I mentioned it last week. Every night after supper, I'd go upstairs and lay in my bed and just read over this stuff. Not to teach it, but just try to get it. It was like I tried to erase everything I already knew and not read it with preconceived ideas. And I got revelation, and it's right. How do I know? I have some chronic things in my body that I am seeing progress on for the first time in my life as a Christian. They're not all the way gone yet, but I've seen progress. You know, I'm asking God to help all of us. That's what I pray. I pray for all of you every day, and I pray, God, open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding. Help us to see this so we can walk in what you have for us. See, you accept the word that healing was provided at the cross. You accept Jesus as your healer, and you thank him that you are now healed. It has nothing to do with what you see or how you feel. You accept God's word on faith, and then you continue to affirm or to say by faith that God healed you and that you are not healed, or that you are now healed. You do it not to make something happen. See, that's what most of us are doing. We're trying to make something happen if I just say it enough. We're saying it because you understand something happened at the cross and you accept God's word on that. And you begin to think of yourself not in terms of what you see or feel, but in terms of what you have accepted by faith. What have you accepted by faith? God's word about your healing. God's word about your healing. Not your healing. I'm not going to use that language. That's not wrong, but we've misunderstood it. You've accepted God's word, just like salvation. How do I know I'm saved? Because I accepted God's word, that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, I shall be saved. Well, I did that. I called on the name of the Lord and I'm saved. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like. I'm saved. See, when you accept God's word about your healing, when you mix faith with God's word, the word of God goes to work to produce the healing in your body. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and it healed them. That's how Fenton's translation says it. Proverbs 4, I'm not going to turn there in the interest of time, but that's that passage that says his word is medicine to our flesh. Are you familiar with that passage? His word is medicine to our flesh. Matthew 8:8 is where that centurion who had the sick servant at home, and Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion said, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. What you accept by faith are on faith, when you accept God's word on faith, you will have what his word says by sight. That's how it works. That's the law of faith. If you accept it, you will have it, whether it is salvation or healing or any other provision of the cross. It's the law of faith. Now, turn to Mark 4. Ooh, time goes fast. Okay, and I don't have next week to cover whatever I don't get done tonight, so we got to crank it out here. Now, accessing the provision and power of the kingdom of God, because that's what we're talking about, accessing the provision and the power of God, the kingdom of God by faith, it's easier if you understand the process that begins when you believe you receive or when you accept God's word. To believe you receive means you accept God's word about what he provided at the cross. If you understand the process that begins when you accept God's word, it will help you. In Mark chapter 4, we're not going to read the whole thing, but from verses 1 down to verse 20, Jesus compared the word of God to a seed. You're all familiar with that. This is the parable of the sower sowing the seed. And later when Jesus explained the parable to his disciples, he said the seed is the word of God. In this parable, Jesus compared the word of God to a seed in order to help us understand, among other things, there's a lot of lessons in this parable, but he told this parable to help us understand the process by which he works in our lives. God works in our lives through his word, and God's word works like a seed. In a seed is the potential for the end result. We've said that a number of times in this series. In the seed is the potential for the end result. If you have a tomato seed, you have a tomato potentially. If you plant that tomato seed, do the right things to the tomato seed, it will ultimately produce a tomato. With a tomato seed, you have a tomato potentially. We could say it this way. In a very real sense, things exist in two forms. A tomato is present in a seed. How many of you know a tomato seed is a different form of a tomato? A seed must be planted, and a process and a passage of time is involved before you see final results. But if you do the right things to the seed, it will produce a tomato because a tomato is resident in the seed. Within the seed is the potential to produce the crop. When I have God's word, I have my answer, just in a form that I cannot yet see or touch. That's one of the reasons Jesus compared the word to a seed. In the word of God is the potential for the end result, seeing the word fulfilled, seeing what God's word declares to be so come to pass if the right things are done to the seed. Now, Luke 1:37, I'm going to read it off the outline. It is from the place where Gabriel, the angel, appeared to Mary and said, "You're going to have a son." And she said, "How's that possible since I'm not married?" And the angel said, "The Holy Ghost will come upon you." And then in the King James, it says, "With God, nothing is impossible." Well, here's how the Amplified says this, and this is an awesome amplification of the idea there. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." We did a whole discussion on this a few weeks ago. God's power is expressed or released through his word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 calls it the word of his power. In his word is the potential to produce the result. 1 Peter 1:23, which we mentioned a moment ago, "You were born again by the incorruptible seed," or the word of God. I didn't put this in the outline, but in John the 3rd chapter, maybe I won't open that in the interest of time. We'll save that for another night. If you wanted tomatoes and somebody gave you a tomato seed, there'd be no crying, No begging, no disappointment. You'd put the seed to work to get the result. You know, if you said, I want tomatoes next spring, and I gave you a pack of tomato seeds, nobody would go, oh, I didn't get my answer. God didn't answer my prayer. Well, no, there's your tomatoes, potentially. The Word of God produces the desired result. When you accept God's word about what He has provided at the cross, the seed is planted and it begins to grow. A seed goes into the ground, and at first, nothing seems to happen. If you've ever planted seed, you know that. But quite a lot is happening. It's just out of sight. We made the point last week that a farmer is unconcerned when he sees nothing growing in his field at first because he understands how seed works. He understands the process. Hold your finger here in Mark 4, but look at James 5. I made reference to this last week, but we ran out of time and I did not read it, so let me read it. I cannot quote this one, so let's turn you over there. James, the 5th chapter, verse 7. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, or the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Tons of stuff in this verse that we aren't going to talk about. But in describing waiting patiently for the Lord's return, James here makes reference to a farmer. Now, in Israel, farmers waited for the first rains of the season, the former rains. Those came at planting time and softened the ground so you could get the seed in. And then the crop grew, and then the latter rains came just before harvest, and you harvested your crop. But the point is, the point is the farmer understands that there's a process in producing a crop, and he waits patiently. To be patient means to endure, stick with it. The blessings provided at the cross are the provisions of the kingdom. Where there is faith, it is the nature of the kingdom of God to grow from minutely small to fully developed, from a mustard seed to a tree. The growth of the kingdom and its provisions is a process. We said this last week. One reason we struggle with faith is many, especially in the area of healing, many of us don't go to God until there's no hope in the natural. And by then we got a big mountain and our faith may be small. Not because we're deficient necessarily, but there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, how many of you know healing is widely preached against? Everybody knows somebody the whole church prayed for and they died anyway. You know, if healing was as widely preached as salvation from sin is, it'd be easier to get healed. The level of faith in healing would be a lot higher in people. But just because the mountain is big and your faith is small doesn't mean the mountain won't move. Just means it's going to go in increments, a process. The growth of the kingdom and its provisions is a process. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When you put the tomato seeds out, you don't expect to see a tomato tomorrow. In fact, you probably aren't going to see anything tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day, or the next day, or the next day. I don't know how long it takes tomato seeds to germinate. We'll ask our tomato expert. Would I see a sprout in a week, maybe? No? Okay. About a month. Oh, well, that's even better. Okay, these are tomato experts right here who are attending with us tonight, special guests of ours, tomato experts. It's about a month before you see anything. Now, if you didn't know, see, I didn't know that. If I put tomato seeds out next spring, I might be upset if after 2 weeks I don't see anything. This ain't working. But if you understand the process, you know you got a month. And then you don't expect the tomato to pop out. You expect just a little blade first. And then that little blade, how many of you know when it comes up, it all looks the same? Have you ever had a weed come up and you thought, oh, my flower, until it opens the third leaf and you see, that ain't a flower, that's a weed. But see, because you understand the process, you're not freaked out. First the blade, then the plant that produces the ear, then the full grain of corn in the ear. It's a process. See, The kind of faith that accesses the kingdom of God does not waver or doubt. If you don't understand what goes on behind the seeds or the scenes, once you believe God's word, let me start over. The kind of faith that accesses the kingdom doesn't waver or doubt. If you do not understand what goes on behind the scenes, once you believe God's word, you will waver if you don't see immediate results. Now, let me throw this cautionary note in. We have a tendency to get caught up in the details of the example when Jesus tells us stuff. The example is the word is a seed. We get caught up in the details and we make faith about procedure. Did I plant the seed properly? You know, and then we envision ourselves planting a tomato seed. You know, I got to get a trowel, and then I've got to pull the hose out, and then I've got to get the gloves on, and it becomes about procedure. Am I watering enough? Let's see, I water the tomato. Can anybody relate to that? Why do we do that? It's because we don't see any results, and we start to waver because we think we didn't believe we received right. So maybe if we water the seed more, it'll come up quicker. And see, consequently, we end up missing the principle. I could do a whole lesson on this, but in the parables, it's not about the details, it's about the one principle. Once a seed, and in, when we do this with the word as a seed, we miss a critical point. Once a seed is in the ground, it's up to the seed to produce the resulting crop. Amen. Once I put the tomato in, the tomato seed, It's up to the tomato seed to produce the crop. It's not up to the farmer to make the seed grow. If the seed is good, if it's good seed, the seed will do what it's supposed to do. Now, the word of God is good seed. Amen. But see, we struggle because we're not sure if we really believed we received, so we're not sure if we really planted it. But if you understand, believe you receive means you accept God's word about what happened at the cross. And then from that point on, refuse to waver. The seed is planted. You got to hold all these examples lightly. We start squeezing every ounce of meaning and every parallel, and we lose the principle. Does that make sense? Am I?
Yeah.
See, once you accept God's word, like when you were born again, when you accepted God's word that Jesus died on the cross for you, the process was no longer dependent on you. The seed did what it was supposed to do. It produced a new birth in you. Did you? And I've wondered this, why is it so easy to pray the prayer of salvation, but so hard to pray all these other prayers? Well, it's because I'm not praying the other prayers like I prayed the prayer of salvation. That's why. See, once you accept God's word, the process is not dependent on you. It is dependent on God's faithfulness and the power in his word. And your responsibility is to not waver, to continue in faith and thank God that the seed is working. Now, how do I not waver? I refuse to do it. Now, I could probably do a whole lesson on that, and we're out of time. We'll see if I pick it up in January or not. Maybe Dennis will end up doing it next week. But how do you wait? How do you not? You just refuse. What does that mean? You cast down imaginations when they flit into your mind. Yeah. Oh, you're not healed. Thank you, Lord, that I am healed. I was healed at the cross. And see, forget about, thank you, Lord, I'm healed, and then trying to feel it and try to sense if you've really received the healing. Is it really in there? Which are all the things we do. I've done it, you know. No, it's just like salvation. If the thought flits across your mind, you're not really saved. You don't try to sense the salvation. You hold fast to the word of God. Is that right? If not, you'll be continually wavering, flapping around. And that's what we do in the other areas. Just as you can count on seed to do what it's supposed to do, you can count on God's word to do what it's supposed to do.
Amen.
See, if I accept his word, it'll do what it's supposed to do. That's why I can be certain. It'll do what it's supposed to do, so you wait with expectation. Faith that accesses the provisions of the kingdom brings together the past, the present, and the future. Because God has provided for me at the cross and has given me his word about what he provided for me, that's the past. I will see it come to pass in my life. That's the future. Because right now, I accept his word. I receive his word. I accept his word. Luke chapter 1, verse 45 goes on. I've got the Amplified Translation here. Luke 1, that's where Mary was told, you're going to have a kid. Then she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth prophesied. This is out of her prophecy. And blessed, happy, to be envied is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of those things that were spoken to her from the Lord. When I accept his word, I can now believe that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to me. Now go back to Mark 11, and we'll finish this up here real quick in 5 minutes. Mark 11. In Mark 11, Jesus demonstrated the prayer of faith. He spoke to a fig tree, believed that what he said would come to pass, and did not doubt. Then he taught on the prayer of faith as he explained to his disciples what he had done the day before. In verse 23, Jesus explained the kind of faith he demonstrated in his dealings with the tree. He spoke to the tree and believed that what he said would come to pass. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, he starts verse 24 with the word therefore. Therefore means that what I am about to say is based on what I have just said. Okay? Therefore, when you pray, believe you receive your answer and you shall have it. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The Jerusalem translation says, I tell you therefore, everything you ask for and pray for, believe that you have it already and it will be yours. In the Greek, it's actually past tense. Believe that you have received it. Now, we've thoroughly explained what it means to believe you have received. It means you accept God's word about what was provided at the cross on faith. Everybody with me? If you don't nod vigorously, I'll keep going. No, we'll be done. I encourage you, go back over these lessons. Read them over and ask God to help you to see this. Okay, Jesus says, when you pray, believe you receive your answer. Now, Jesus is explaining what he did the day before. He spoke to the tree and believed that what he said would come to pass. Jesus believed he received the answer to his prayer when he prayed the day before. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
How do I know? One, he walked away. Two, he wasn't surprised the next day that it was dead. And three, look at the explanation he gives to his disciples. Okay? Jesus believed he received the answer to his prayer when he prayed. He walked away from the fig tree before there was any visible change, but he knew that tree would die. When you pray the prayer of faith, you speak God's word. You say what God says, and you believe that what he says will come to pass. And you consider your prayer answered at that moment because you have God's word and you believe God's word. And the word of God then goes to work to produce the results in you. That's exactly what you did when you prayed the prayer of faith, more commonly known as the sinner's prayer. And that's exactly what happens every time you pray the prayer of faith. You accept God's word, you believe it without physical evidence, you speak it out of your mouth, and you believe you have your answer because you have his word, and you understand the process that begins at that point. The seed begins to work to produce the result. You've done your part. He's now doing his part. When you have God's word on the matter, you have the answer because the answer is in the word. That is how you can believe your prayer is answered before you see the answer. See, we try to believe I got my healing. What does that mean? No, I have the word of God about my healing. That's my answer. That's how you can believe you received the answer to your prayer before you have your answer physically. You have received or accepted God's word, and the word of God, the seed, is now working in you to produce the visible result. And you can thank God in advance that your prayer is answered and that it is being answered because the seed is growing under the ground. God's kingdom operates according to law. God's word is the law of his kingdom. The law of faith is reliable. The law of faith works because it is an expression of God who is faithful. It is an expression of his faithful word. God, who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and eternal, compares his word to a seed to help us understand how he works. We have to be careful not to get so caught up in the details of the example that it becomes about procedure rather than relationship. We have to balance procedure and relationship. But when you have God's word about what he did at the cross, you have your answer. God is faithful and he keeps his word. Just as you can count on seed to do what it's supposed to do, you can count on God to keep his word. Amen. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you for your wonderful word, which not only shows you what you've done for us at the cross, but it will produce that result in us when we simply accept your word on faith. Dear Father, I pray for everybody who's here tonight and everyone who hears this lesson for continued revelation and understanding of what it means to pray prayers that access your kingdom, so that we can walk in the power and provision of your kingdom and bring you honor and glory as we bear much fruit in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear Lord, and we praise you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're done for 6 weeks. Praise the Lord. Now, praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody. Before we go tonight,